Hello and welcome to your weekly podcast here on Four Lads Had a Dream. My name's Andrew and I'm joined tonight by three of my very favourite podders. First of all, Shona, how you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. Yourself?
Lovely stuff. Yes, I'm good as well. Kenny, how are you doing, mate?
Yeah, I'm great. Thanks, Andrew. Nice to be back on.
Wonderful. And finally, the big man himself, Stevie. How you doing, mate?
I'm good, mate. Thank you. I'm really good. I'm just good. Laughing because every week you introduce us as your favourite podders. So
I was at the Gaza live show last week, attending a rival podcast. I know, it was very upsetting. But I got called out on that. And I said, the point is that every single one of the podcasters on the network is my very favourite podder. I'm just saving it up for when I'm on a pod with Chris Bett again. Then I can say two of my favourite podders and Chris. but, yeah. Right, so we're doing video for the first time for those of you watching on YouTube, so this is going to be very exciting. You can see our lovely faces. You can see my hair making up for the lack of Kenny and Stevie's. If you're listening on audio, it's still going to be available as an audio podcast as well. We're never going to take that away from you. But because it's the international break, we're trying out some new stuff, and we are also just going to be having a kind of general chat about all things Rangers. So I wanted to start first with Shona and Stevie, who were fortunate enough to take in the women's game over the weekend, the cup-winning women's game over the weekend. We've got a couple of talking points from that. I don't know, Shona, if we want to discuss, you know, obviously the most pressing and important one, which was that Rangers put down a mat with their crest on it, and apparently this is the greatest crime committed in Scottish football, I think, in a couple of decades at least. You know, what were your thoughts on this outrageous act of, you know, vandalism, terrorism, in fact, done to Tynecastle?
Well, it's absolutely shocking, isn't it? I think there's been an absolute meltdown in the statements galore, and now you're seeing all sorts of gifs online. So no, continue the meltdown. I think this happened back in 2022, nothing was said, and all of a sudden now, because Rangers are doing well, it seems to be a bit of an issue. So no, look, all for it. Can't wait, cannot wait for the meltdown.
Yeah, as you say, the point that this was done back in 22, obviously that wasn't a big deal back then. Now it's a big issue because the reasons. The fact that Hearts, like, I can understand some fans getting wound up about, you know, something like this. It's Scottish football. There are crazy fans within every single fan base. But the fact that the Hearts social media team felt the urge to, yes, no, lads, we've got to get a statement out about this. This is obviously very important. Stevie, for me, that's honestly the most shocking thing about this.
I was actually quite worried when I started to read the statements. I was like, oh, what have the girls done? Like, what's went on in the dressing room? Have they wrecked something? Have they broke something? No, we picked it up and we left and everything was fine. Like, I don't get the outrage. And then I'm reminded basically of Andy's article a couple of weeks ago. And it basically said, you know, this is nothing to do with what happened. It's to do with who it is. And I think that's the biggest issue. So, yeah, I seen a funny gif last night on Twitter, just as Shona was saying about the gifs and memes and things that were going about, and it basically said 0 days since Rangers done something that was magnified out of all proportion. And I just feel like that's what it is. We literally can't do anything as a club without it being magnified way out of proportion. But I think that the coverage from Sky Sports, the coverage from Clyde and stuff like that has really just highlighted what a mistake it was from Hearts in the first place. And I'm glad Rangers didn't comment. I'm glad Rangers just ignored it and didn't kind of rise to it, because then it would have spiraled out of control for something that is just completely pointless and has been done by multiple teams, including Hearts herself, and really doesn't matter in the slightest.
I think it's, you're handing over the stadium for the final. You know, this is barely even a Rangers decision. You're handing the stadium over to the league. It's the same, and obviously Hearts are a little less experienced at this, but it's like when we're competing in Europe, you know, you hand over the stadium to UEFA, they take control of it. So you accept that as part of getting paid a fee to host the game. And if they were truly very upset about it, I expect that the fee will be coming back to the SPFL in due course, or the SPWFL. Yeah. Anyway, you know, let's not dwell on that. Let's, Shona, I'm going to stick with you, but let's talk about, you know, the positives of the game. Rangers picked up another trophy. That's always good news, right?
Yeah, I thought it was a sticky start to the game. I think me and Stevie were there and we were covering it. And I think, obviously, we noticed very early doors, obviously, with the five in midfield, that obviously Partick Thistle tried to nullify us in the middle of the park, and we could see that at times, but obviously we could see that there was a lot of space down both wings, and we managed to utilise that quite well, I thought, throughout the game. And yeah, once we got that third goal at half time, I think that kind of set us off to the cup. So, but no, I think overall, I think the goals were good goals. I think Partick Thistle goal was an absolute cracker as well. And obviously we saw the goals yesterday from the likes of Mia. I think it was Liv McLaughlin and Rio Hardy. And who was the last? Stevie, you'll be able to tell me who the last one was. But yeah, no, it was an overall, it was a really, really good. And I think from what I saw in the second half, Partick Thistle just ran out of gas. And we could have gone for even more. But I think it was just a case of just get through the game without any injuries and move on. And it was a massive, massive win. I think that's now Joe Porter's first cup as Rangers manager, and also as well Nicola Docherty. It was her first cup as a captain. So no, overall, I thought, and it was a lovely day, wasn't it, Stevie, as well? That was another thing. It was a cracking day out for those fans that did come. So no, I'm really, really pleased with the performance overall. And yeah, on to the next one. We're in for now. The women's and the men's are up for a treble now. So continue what we're doing.
Andrew, can I just point out that the use of the word "we" there is doing a lot of work, because I never noticed anything about the formation and stuff like that. It was Shona that pointed out after 10 minutes, do you see what Thistle are doing? And my clogs were still turning and that. I've not figured anything out yet. And she's like, they're going man for man and they're really tight, and that's why there's so much space either side. So I think Shona's doing herself a disservice here. She noticed it. But I would say quickly on kind of rounding up that, I think Thistle were great for 30 minutes and then basically blew their gasket. And for a team that isn't full-time, Andrew, done exceptionally well and performed exceptionally well on the day. And, you know, I'm sure we're going to cover something else that's come from that game, the comments from a certain somebody and the way that our captains responded and that, which I think has been terrific. I think Thistle done themselves proud getting there, so all credit to them. But Rangers, first one in the bag for the women's team, and hopefully they'll just continue to kick on and go strength to strength.
No, absolutely. I think that's...
And I would say as well, sorry, Sean, it was Rachel Rowe that got the other one, the second, and that was probably the best one of the day, the corner, and she hit that in off the bar. So there were some cracking goals. The Thistle one was incredible. Shona and I, actually, when we do the live pods or the pods for match days, we've been waiting to get a moment where we've been commentating on an actual goal going in, and the first time it happens was Thistle. So I don't know if anybody's checked that out, because me and Sean are talking about Rangers having scored, and then I'm just like, oh, Thistle are on the attack, and woof. So it was an Archie McPherson moment, I think. So yeah, it was good, but as I said, job done in the end, and Sean's right about the weather. It was a nice day, and it was a good turnout as well. So record crowd, I think, for a final. So it's good to see the kind of growth in the game.
How much did you do, Steve, throughout the game?
Shona is learning about four lads and how to do the socials and everything else. So I watched and observed while she done the social work, Andrew. Leader, delegate.
It's supervision.
That's it.
Yeah, I mean, it's like how Kenny, you know, asked me just to give him a hand with editing, and then suddenly I'm hosting podcasts on Four Lads and a Dream Instead. Yeah, it's funny how that works. I think there was one more point, Shona, that we wanted to touch on. And I'll let you go ahead. Just far away.
Yeah, I think obviously we need to give credit to Nicola Docherty. Not only is she a captain, but she's an inspiration to fellow players and obviously fellow other players from other teams. And I think she was quite right to bring out what she said. I think it was a massive mistake on the other guy's part. And look, the scrutiny, the abuse that goalkeeper has taken, it's totally uncalled for. And look, I think sometimes men need to realise that there is women in this sport, and whether they like it or not, for me, I think they've got to give them credit for what they're doing. There's lots and lots of sports people out there that are idols for women footballers as well, that's coming into this game, not even just in football, but in other sports as well. And credit to Nicola for coming out and backing one of our fellow rival players, especially in a game like that. So, no, I'm over the moon that Nicola Docherty managed to do that, and the amount of credit that she's got for it as well on social media for what she's done. It just shows you, do you know what I mean, that there is a voice to be heard out there for women and women's football, especially when we're trying to grow the game. And, yeah, credit to Nicola.
I just say on that as well, Andrew, I think the girl's 17 years old. She's just out of school playing in a major cup final. And yeah, she made a mistake. Let's not try and cover it up or whatever. She made a mistake. She was positioned wrong, but she recovered. She made several good saves during the game. A couple at the end of the game were spectacular. and it could have been a whole lot worse if it wasn't for her. She'd done really, really well, and she showed more about her and the way she responded than the person that's calling her out on social media and causing a pile-on and a bullying to a young girl that's barely out of school. I thought her father's message for her on social media and stuff was great, and I would be surprised if that person would stand there in front of the father and say that as well. So it was disappointing that that kind of overshadowed what was a good day, but well done to the young keeper. He's 17 years old, you know, playing on a pitch like that in a major cup final. Well done to her, and she deserves nothing but credit instead of being, you know, chopped down.
No, absolutely. And I think, you know, Nicola Doherty, in regards to her, you know, it's just what we expect from a Rangers captain, right? So it's always good to see. Kenny, I want to come to you now because I'm aware you've just been kind of hanging out here. I want to turn our attention to the international break. Obviously, we've had a number of players away. I want to pick out a couple just because they kind of typify our kind of roller coaster season. First up, we've got Cyril Dessers tearing it up, doing the business. Which is obviously fantastic to see. But on the flip side of that coin, we unfortunately have reports that Ridvan Yilmaz has come home early injured. So, I mean, did these two things just kind of sum up our luck this season or what?
It's the chance you take with international breaks all the time. It's why more and more people don't like them, Andrew. Don't like international football because your players are coming back or taking the risk of coming back with these kind of injuries, and we don't know how bad it is with Ridvan Yilmaz yet, but the initial reports weren't particularly good, were they? So, look, I don't know. It's Cyril Dessers doing Cyril Dessers things, right enough, isn't he? Scoring goals, and it was a good penalty he took. It was a fine penalty, but look, I'm going to be honest, I just think it gets in the way of my football, international football these days. I just find it kind of tedious. And I sat and I watched the Scotland game on Friday night, and the last 15 minutes, I just shook my head. I thought, what am I watching? And just made me pine for Rangers even earlier than I would normally in an international break, because I thought they were... I don't get this fascination where they turn around and try and tell you that they played well. Well, they missed a few sitters and get scalped 4-0. If that's playing well, then we crack on. I just find it a little bit tedious, to be honest. And as you say, it's about our players and getting them back, and hopefully with them coming back fit. But we'll wait and see with Ridvan Yilmaz, because it gives us a big problem, because we all know the alternative isn't ideal. So, you know, and that's all respect to Borna, but, you know, his last few performances just haven't been what you would expect of a Rangers player. So you're probably looking at perhaps, you know, looking at John Sterling, aren't you?
We've got one player who we know can play everywhere.
Can play anywhere, yeah. But international football is what it is, Andrew, and it just gets in the way of my football, I'm afraid.
We were all excited for this international break, and then as soon as it happened, we thought, like, this is going to be great. It's going to be an opportunity for our players to recover. We didn't expect we'd lose more during the course of it. We still have reports that Ross Bjorklund is still carrying a knock as well, so that's also potentially good, bad news for us. As you say, I mean, obviously we do have Borna who can potentially come in for Ridvan, but given that he may have signed a pre-contract with a Turkish club, that's only rumours at this point. I don't think we're confirming anything. But it's certainly not ideal to have that as your only other option there. Shona, obviously I wanted to talk to you about how good Cyril Dessers is. You've been a big backer of his, a big proponent of his, and you know, I just want you to take a little moment to, you know, take a little victory lap and say, yeah, fucking told you.
Yeah, just yeah, that's all I said. Obviously he must have learned that one off of Tav the other day, didn't he? So no, he can keep doing what he's doing, and hopefully, like, he's all we've got at the moment up front. I know you, obviously we've got Silva, but Silva's obviously playing off the left. And yeah, until Silva comes back, whether we'll see Fabio Silva up top, I still think that Clement will go with Dessers for most of the games towards the end of the season. And yeah, if he ends up getting 20 goals this season, guys, you can see me wearing a Cyril Dessers mask this season, and I'll be giving Stevie some amount of pelters. So Stevie, beware, coming. And yeah, Dessers can keep doing what he's doing. So no, I think look, for what he's done since Clement's came in as well, I think. What's that now, 11 goals in 14 games or 14 starts he's had. So, no, for me, he can keep doing what he's doing, and I'll see you all guys in May.
Hopefully, he takes the kind of positives from that, because I think that he peaked against Hearts. He had a couple good goals and he had a really good performance, and then he's maybe come down slightly again. So I hope that he takes the confidence from his, because, you know, all opinions aside and everything else, we need Cyril Dessers to be firing, because he is literally the only one, and he's durable enough to be there, and he's reliable enough that we can say that he is going to be fit and stuff, touch wood. So we need him fired, and hopefully that's given him a kind of wee boost as well when he comes back motivated, because, as I said, he is by hook or crook our number nine for the rest of the season. So we need him firing, and hopefully that's a wee boost for him. And it, like you guys said as well, it was a good penalty. It was very, Shona was right, it was very Tav, the wee shuffle run up and stuff like that. It was a really good penalty. So yeah, I might say, listen, I'll be delighted if Shona in 2 months' time has given me pelters for saying about Dessers, and we won a treble on the back of his performances. I will, you know, say well done and great and everything else. So roll on a couple of months, Sean. I hope you are terrorising me.
Don't you worry.
She will. One player who didn't actually feature over the international weekend, despite, you know, I think some reliable claims that he definitely would be, was Jack Butland, Stevie. So I just want to stay with you. I think, you know, obviously, I don't think I'm speaking out of turn here to say that pretty much everyone on this podcast has a great deal of affection for Jack Butland. We all, I think on merit, he deserves a slot in that England team, especially if you look at the form of some of the other players who've been called into that squad. What's your take on that? I mean, it's obviously got to be disappointing for the player, but at the same time, given our track record with players going away on international duty, maybe it's just a good thing?
I'm disappointed for Jack because I think he deserved it. I think he deserved the recognition. I'm even more disappointed that after the lad dropped out with injury, he called up James Trafford at Burnley. I thought that was even more bizarre when you consider his kind of form of fact that I think he's just been dropped by Burnley. And a lot of the pundits are saying, you know, it's about time that that's happened and things like that. So that's even more disappointing. And I would have thought, like, I can handle Jack missing out if he then gets called up when somebody drops out. But I'm really disappointed for him. But on a positive for me is the way that he reacted to that news and performed then at home at Benfica. And he's massive for us. And yeah, I mean, we all love Jack and we all think that Jack's, you know, very handsome and everything else. That's all true. So this could be the Jack Butland Appreciation Podcast. So I think that we're all a bit disappointed for him, certainly. Kenny was shaking his head, and I think that kind of just sums it all up, Kenny.
Listen, I'll be honest. I look at their goalkeeping situation down there, and genuinely, in my opinion, that the only keeper that's better than Butland at this minute in time down there is Nick Pope, and he's injured. I understand he's always going to go with Pickford as his number one. That's fine. I can even kind of get that he's going to be loyal to Ramsdale, but you're not telling me Johnston and Trafford are better than Jack Butland. You're just not. No, nobody's going to be able to tell me that and for me to take that seriously. And that's no disrespect to these kids. Are good. They're good goalkeepers. But as you say, the boy Trafford's lost his place in a poor Burnley team that are shipping goals, and he's making mistakes, you know, every other week. I find it kind of bizarre, actually, that he hasn't looked at that. And it's a no-brainer for me. That's what I would say. It's an absolute no-brainer. Get him down there and give him some minutes because he merits it. I don't think there's any doubt in that.
I think that's the big point there, Kenny. It's the fact that he merits the choice. If you're just looking on objective form, these other guys are getting called up from, you know, Premier League Championship teams. Obviously, Jack Butland's not playing in a high-quality league, but he's performing in some high-quality games. You know, he's last 16 of the Europa, for heaven's sake. And he did exceptionally well in those games. So, yeah, it's a bizarre one. But we don't lose a player to injury or, you know, an international call-up. So, swings and roundabouts, I suppose. Obviously, coming up, we know we are going to be going into, obviously, a big run of games. Probably, you know, this is where we get down to the nitty-gritty of things. First up is Hibs. Shona, I mean, in terms of how they've performed, in terms of, you know, how we look coming into this, we, I think, have to ensure that we get for 3 points out of this one, because obviously after that we're going straight into an Old Firm. That's definitely a must win. But the important thing has been in this season that we haven't let ourselves kind of slip up. We've stayed focused and focused on one game at a time. Obviously, we can start looking forward to the Old Firm. We can start looking forward to the post-split and seeing where the where that comes in as well. But yeah, what's your kind of take on how we'll line up against Hibs? And thank you, Kenny, for providing the silent entertainment. We are still on video, but it was good to see you.
I thought he just left.
I'm just tired of not getting asked questions by me. Fine, whatever. You know, you just leave the call. You don't have to, like, show it so obviously.
Listen,
anyway,
I was just doing other things. Sorry.
You're podcasting. You're on our time now, Kenny. So come on.
And I think the last time that obviously we played Hibs, it was obviously the quarter, wasn't it? 2-0, and they absolutely lost the plot. But looking at the stats, obviously we had over 20 shots on goal and seven on target. And then obviously the last league away game was 3-0, and obviously that was one when Redfan scored that nice wee kind of, was it half volley? So I think he took the first touch and he went into the obviously the near post. And then you've got the one where my boy Cyril Desser has made that lovely move into the middle of the park, that cheeky wee goal. And then I think the other one, was that not the one that was a Cantwell screamer from outside the box as well? So, I think when you look at it overall, I think that game as well, just written down there, is 22 shots and 9 on target. So we're averaging over 20 shots on goal against Hibs. The one thing that really, I think, from Hibs' point of view, is what they'll try and utilise is the set pieces. I think they're very, very good with their set pieces. And the guy, is it Johan or whatever it is, up to he's quite a bit of a threat. So, no, I'm pretty confident going into this game. We've won the last two against Hibs. They seem to lose a plot after about 45 minutes when we were 2-0 up. So bring it on, and hopefully there's no more statements coming out, because you know what happened the last time with the Hibs, and they were making the allocation, and now they're going to cut their allocation, so they can't even fill their own stadium. So we'll need to wait and see. But look, I'm looking forward to this game. I think we should really be winning this game. I think we're going into a vital part, very pivotal part of the season. I think after that we've got, what is it, Celtic, Ross County and Dundee before the split. Mm-hmm. So I think if we can get through those games, I think the big one for us is obviously going to be the mentality of the Old Firm game. Get through that game and then we're on to we can go 5 points clear. But as you said, it's just one game at a time. And looking forward to Hibs. I think to be honest, I'm quite comfortable. That's two clean sheets that we've had against Hibs in the past two games as well. So should do well, and looking forward to it. As long as we have like lights of players, I think we've missed Todd Cantwell quite a lot in the last couple of games. I think his creativity in the middle of the park, I think that's why you're seeing the likes of Dessers and Fabio Silva not really hitting their peak form, or basically they've kind of slipped up, is because of Todd Cantwell. But if we can get him back, and then obviously hopefully Seema for around about the Old Firm or just after that, then that would be a massive boost for us going into this pivotal part of the season. But yeah, looking forward to the Hibs game, and I expect us to win.
Excellent. Love to hear it. That's why we keep you here, Shona. You come up with stats as well. It's not only it's optimistic, but it's backed up with stats as well. I love that. That's great. Kenny, maybe just a more emotional take on the situation. I'm not expecting you to bring our statistics here, but yeah. I mean, obviously Hibs, but then how do you see everything else coming up before the split?
Vital. Every single game. I think if we win all four, which I think they are all winnable, we'll be well on our way. But look, it becomes tougher and tougher at this time of year when it's a title race. Every single game, every 10 minutes of every single game, it just gets more and more tense. If you're not winning with 20 minutes to go at Ibrox, it's a tough place to play your football and stay composed. So, you know, in that sense, the two games coming up, obviously the Hibs game and then the game against them, they'll take care of themselves. It's the ones after that actually are every bit as important. You know, the two away games, away to Dundee and then up to Ross County, neither of them are going to be easy games. Everybody's fighting for something. So for me, as I say, I think the first two will take care of themselves at Ibrox. We'll all be right up for them. The other two are where the team have really got to, regardless of results in those two games I'm talking about, the focus has got to just get more and more intense for me. But it's there for us, Andrew. It is there for this team. It's there for the manager and his team, because I've stuck my neck out already on this pod and said that. I do genuinely believe that we're the best team in the country. It's just up to us to prove it. And I think we can. And I think we will over the next few games. But as I say, wee blocks, those wee miniature blocks of fixtures that you get, I always think that they're key. And those four, again, are very, very, will be pivotal to how we do. Mm-hmm. You know, if we can take the 12 points, we are well on our way. It's ours to lose then, put it that way.
For sure. Yeah, no, I completely agree with you, Kenny. Stevie, obviously I want to get your take on this as well, but also I want you to preview for the lovely listeners and viewers now what's going to be coming up on Full Lads over the next few weeks.
Yeah, so I'm a little bit less looking forward past Hibs, to be honest. I'm one game at a time. I'm still got Phil's look ingrained in my head after I asked him about Seema, so I think he would want me just to concentrate on the next game, which is Hibs. But I think there's a huge opportunity for us there to set a marker down, kind of come back refreshed and hopefully kind of put ourselves together for that. So yeah, Hibs is as far as I'm looking forward to, Andrew, and hopefully get a good result there, because I feel like that can set a tempo. It can put down a marker as such and say, look, you know, there's a really good performance, a really strong performance. Like Shona says, I'm looking forward to seeing Cantwell. I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, Fabio Silva continue that kind of Benfica form. Can he hit again? I'm looking forward to Dujon Sterling popping up in potentially any position that the manager needs him. You know, Lundstrom, can he continue his form? Can Tom Lawrence pitch in with a couple of goals? These are all things that we need to kind of look forward to as much as consider. So I'm with Kenny. I think that it's all there for them, but I'm not looking any further past the Hibs, you know, with regards to that. And with four lads, you know, obviously we've made this change. A lot of people had asked us to go visual and kind of provide that. So we've done that. And I think that for a pod wise, we've only started in January, and we've had, you know, I think we've got 115,000 people have listened and downloaded and watched, you know, blank screens and just listened to us. And all I've got to say, you know, is thanks to absolutely everyone. And we hope that we can provide a kind of base to do that. And obviously not written as much, Andrew, because of things that have happened in the last couple of months, but the pod is always going to be coupled by the blog, which Four Lads is a writing thing. So hopefully there's a lot more writing and pods that are positive and look forward to. But Monday night, excuse me, will be our kind of main pod of the week, won't it? That's where we'll all be, and that'll be a usual kind of 20-30 minutes if there's four of us. And then you'll maybe get previews of Hibs later on in the week, once we've maybe found out a wee bit more about injuries and stuff. Could we come back and preview that? And it'll be the same next week. There'll be a preview of the Old Firm pod as well. So yeah, I think we've got lots to kind of offer. And then match day for us, Shona, will be a wee bit different. On Saturday, we're going to try and record us sitting on the gantry and stuff like that. So we need to be careful with that, obviously, because we can't film what's happening on the pitch, because we don't have the rights to that. We can't go live because we don't have the rights to that either. But when people hear the kind of post-match pods, and you'll hear us describing goals and stuff like that, you'll be able to see us now on the gantry doing that as well. So that could be fun. We'll certainly give it a go, and Shona, and we'll see how it turns out on Saturday. But that's what's coming up on Four Lads as well. So hopefully people enjoy the content and will subscribe and like, because it really helps us grow then if people are doing that. So yeah, I hope they enjoy this, and that's it really, I think. You know,
that's come great.
And watch and listen, like, it's good.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm excited about it, Stevie. And I'm on the podcast. It's gonna be great. No, I'm looking forward to seeing you guys at the stadium and taking that in. But yeah, I mean, we've hit 30 minutes now. We're far over our typical time, Stevie, obviously. So I don't want to take up any more of our listeners' valuable eyes, ears anymore. It's been a pleasure, obviously, talking to you three at the start of the podcast. You're my very favourite podder. So, of course, why wouldn't it be? So I'd like to thank all of you first. Shona, thank you very much, as always.
Thank you, and just looking forward to a Desert's hat trick this weekend. So see you all next week.
There we go. We live in eternal optimism. Kenny, thanks to you, mate.
Yeah, cheers, Andrew. Thanks, guys. Enjoyed that.
And Stevie, of course, thanks to you.
Yeah, Andrew, listen, thanks to you for hosting. Really appreciate putting it together. I hope people enjoyed it. And yeah, it'll get a wee bit more fluent, and we'll maybe not giggle as much when Kenny tries to leave halfway through and stuff like that. But hopefully people enjoy it. And
emergency.
We'll see you later on in the week also.
No, absolutely. Listen, folks, it's been a pleasure talking to you, letting you see us as well. We hope you enjoy it. We will have, obviously, as Steve says, plenty coming up over the next few weeks. But until we talk to you again. Four Lads Bite Size Podcast is proud to be sponsored by Rhino Express and Clyde View Joinery, certified fire door installer and maintainer. Also in association with Rangers Pools, Zenith Coins and Alexander Campbell Interiors. Please share and follow the pod to help us grow. We hope you enjoyed the show.